You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
This is Homemaker by Sudan Archives from the brilliant 2022 album Natural Brown Prom Queen. Sudan Archives, aka Brittany Parks, is coming to Aotearoa to play her first ever show in the country next week on Thursday at the Power Station. And I was very lucky to catch up with her yesterday about the recent record, touring after lockdown, and kind of processing some of those strange feelings of homesickness that I'm sure a lot of people experienced in the COVID years that came to the forefront for her when she was at home recording in her basement in the depths of the restrictions. So we're going to jump into this chat now. I started by asking her how she was feeling taking a record that had come from such an isolated time out to the world, playing all these amazing summer festivals in the Northern Hemisphere.
It feels really liberating and cool, because it's like I'm happy to be touring, because I know COVID kind of made things very, very, you know, constricted during, you know, not being able to travel. So to be able to have that opportunity to travel again and for us to have community is definitely a blessing.
How did you experience lockdown for yourself? Because I know there's quite a thread of homesickness that is throughout this record. Was that something that you found yourself trying to explore consciously, or was that bubbling up more when you were thinking about it?
I think that it was kind of like bubbling up, but also definitely something that I was feeling, but I didn't really intentionally strive to create an album surrounded around that theme of being homesick until I started creating. And then I was like, oh, I feel like it's going in this direction. That feels good. So I'll create more of that.
How did you manage your creative processes during COVID? What was your setup like?
So I have a home studio. It's in my basement and it's behind my house. So that's really easy for me to access when I'm just feeling like I hear a song or an idea in my head. I just walk to my basement and then I have my pup there and I have my instruments and my violins hanging on different sides of the walls, mounted up there, and I can just enter into my little woman cave and do my thing.
I love that. With this record, one of the things I love about it is it feels really expansive, like you haven't pulled back from any ideas, and that's allowed it to go in some really interesting and quite unexpected directions, which makes it a very exciting listen. What was it like for you writing this?
I think since creating it was during such a an isolated time, you know, with not being able to go anywhere because of COVID, I think that I kind of just was able to draw from all the experiences and all the emotions that were kind of piling up based off of my surroundings and what was happening in the world at that time. So I think that just being able to have access to, you know, the creative outlet to kind of just pour into, you know, my music with how I'm feeling and in terms of like how I'm perceiving what's going on was kind of like a cathartic process, because it was very healing as well, because it was like a diary or kind of like an audio diary or kind of like a therapy session, because I was just creating based off of everything going on during such a crazy time in the world and also a, you know, isolated time as well.
I'm really interested as well by the title Natural Brown Prom Queen, because it's a really like joyful title and a playful title, but it feels like there's kind of a reclamation of something almost in it. Where did that name come from for you?
It kind of actually came from the song I'm Not Average, you know, Topless. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, I didn't plan on calling the album Natural Brown Prom Queen at first. We were going to call it like Homecoming or like Homesick or Homecoming, but then my manager heard that and was like, that's it. That's mm-hmm. the name of the album. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I like that too. But it really stemmed from kind of like an affirmation to myself. It was like an affirmation Because sometimes you don't feel like you're a natural brown prom queen. Sometimes you don't feel like you're, you know, enough. And I think that those lyrics in that particular song kind of dive into those insecurities while also reclaiming who I am and who someone is, with those affirmations of kind of talking to yourself, like, I may not feel like this, but I'm affirming myself in that moment.
Who were you drawing on, and what were you sort of like listening to or thinking about musically when you were in this creation zone?
Honestly, I don't know if this is a bad thing, but I really wasn't listening to much music, so I was always so busy creating music. But I would say, you know, as far as what I was drawing on for inspiration, definitely just my life experiences. Like, I think that my life experiences were the biggest factor in the album, with it being such my most personal album, my most vulnerable album.
Wherever you go sonically with your music and whatever you're exploring, the violin is always the anchor. That seems to be the thing that you come back to. And I know it's the instrument that you've played the longest, is that right?
Yes, it is. I've started in fourth grade.
Wow. And how does it feel for you? It must be like very natural to reach for the violin when you're writing. Do you think of it like a voice or a different kind of extension of your own self when you're playing it?
I would kind of think of it more of like, it's like definitely more of like an extension in a way, because I don't ever want to feel like I have to play the violin in order for people to kind of like recognize my sound. But I do also understand that
look at it fall down, look at it fly around. They so confused how, she's so confused how. Everything turns into gold, she didn't ask for
it. Oh, we just lost a little bit of audio there, but we will get it back. We're listening to Sudan Archives with Chevy S10. You're on BFM Breakfast.
Don't know what they're here for. Don't know what they judge for. Don't know why they hate her. But they don't want what they halo low. Only call you when they're feeling low. Only judging cause they time is slow. Only hating cause you icy as snow. We know girls will do anything, anything, as long as it seems all around. Better than minimum wage, they just wanna get away. I hit them on speed dial. I told them I'm up right now. Can you come sweep me?
All right, we've got her back. We were talking about the violin and how she feels about it in her practice, whether it's an extension of her voice or something that she feels she's reaching for when she's writing.
I kind of think of it more of like, it's like definitely more of like an extension in a way, because I don't ever want to feel like I have to play the violin in order for people to kind of like recognize my sound. But I do also understand that it is such a huge part of my sound. So I would say it's more of like an extension. I don't think it's who I am, or it's more of an extension of who I am.
I really liked something that I saw, I think, in an interview maybe with The Guardian, that you'd said you quite like recontextualizing it in a joyful space, because a lot of like Western music's relationship with the violin is very like sedate or orchestral.
Yeah, I think that, you know, since it was introduced to me as a child, I started in fourth grade, and now being an adult and I'm still playing it, I think the violin definitely holds a special place, maybe one of even nostalgia, because it's kind of like returning to your childlike senses when you are able to kind of return to those things that bring you joy. I think that the violin, I would hope that over time as I continue to create music, it will evolve with me, but not be kind of like what defines my sound as an artist, even though I know it is, which is okay. But I think that what's more important is to kind of have that emotion that is evoked from the violin, because I think that when people resonate with it, it's really not the violin they're resonating with, it's the emotion that the chords and the music brings to their heart that they're resonating most with. So I would hope that regardless of where I go sonically, that emotion and that pure love from the violin that the violin emulates is there.
Bringing this music to audiences now, especially when it was created in this isolated space, what's been your experience of performing this record live since, you know, you've had a bit of time to live with it, with other people also listening to it? How does it feel to see people, for example, like sing it back and be really part of that live experience?
It feels very surreal, because I feel like I remember when I was literally just playing on the street, playing my violin for change on the street with like a loop station and my iPad. And now I'm touring the world and people know, and you know, the lyrics to all my songs, and I'm like, I just feel very grateful.
Sudan Archives with Chevy S10. Thanks so much to Sudan Archives, aka Brittany, for speaking with me ahead of her show, her first ever show in New Zealand, next Thursday at the Power Station, the 20th of July. Stick it in your calendar, grab yourself a ticket if you haven't got one already. It's going to be a really special gig. It's also worth mentioning that she's totally self-taught when it comes to her instruments that she plays, including the violin, and she's bloody amazing. She's a multi-instrumentalist, does a lot of her own production, incredible lyrics, and it's just going to be a killer show. If you follow her on Instagram, you will have seen clips from some of these summer festivals she's been playing over in the States and Europe, and it just looks like a lot of fun. So make sure you head along and enjoy yourself. It's a pretty special one coming our way.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.